again, the previous program was the WBAI Evening News, heard daily at 6 p.m. Stay tuned for Justice Matters with Bob Ganji coming up.
Good evening. Hello. Good evening, people. You are tuned to Justice Matters with Bob Ganji on WBAI 99.5 FM, your publicly supported radio station in New York City. I am Bob Ganji, your host for the show and for this evening. In my other life, I am director of the Police Reform Organizing Project, PROP, whose main purpose is to expose and end racist and abusive policing in New York City. We focus on a variety of justice issues with each broadcast, sometimes with policing as the thing we're most concentrating on, and other times a broad range of justice topics as they apply to New York City and our country. Tonight, our guest is Dawn Euster, who is director of the School Justice Project at Advocates for Children. Dawn, are you with us?
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Oh, sure. Well, very pleased to have you because of your knowledge about the subject, and you are also a delightful human being. But let's move on. So we talked before the broadcast about a couple of possible topics for tonight. Can you guys hear my dogs barking in the background, by the way?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. This is one of the liabilities of live radio, but some member of my family is trying to quiet them at the moment. Dawn, we talked about an immediate issue, which was the announcement by the de Blasio administration, I think on Tuesday, that they were going to initiate a pilot project in, I think, two precincts or two communities in the city where they would replace police as the first responders with mental health professionals and EMT people when calls come in involving emergencies with New Yorkers in psychiatric crisis. Could you tell us, I guess, what you know about this pilot project? What are still some of the opening questions? And then also, how would it particularly benefit your main constituency, which are the children in New York City's public schools?
Sure, I'd be happy to do so. So, you know, we heard, just as the rest of the public did, from the mayor's announcement on Tuesday, as you pointed out, during his press conference in the morning, that the city will be piloting a program with mental health response teams and without the NYPD to respond to nonviolent situations related to mental health, and that we will be adding trained social workers to FDNY, the fire department, emergency medical services teams to focus on mental health emergencies, which is encouraging. And our understanding is that extensive training is happening now and that the fire department is partnering with Health and Hospitals Corporation and also the city's Thrive New York City, which is part of City Hall, and that the health and hospitals will be helping to train the new mental health teams and will be providing some ongoing case conferencing. And the good news is that in those two precincts, our understanding is that the NYPD will no longer be the default response for nonviolent, what they're calling nonviolent situations related to mental health. So our
A couple of things. One is just a line about Thrive New York. There may be some of our listeners who are not aware of that activity.
Sure. So the mayor's wife, the first lady, Shirlane McCrae, has been spearheading initiative that is really unprecedented and unique to New York City, where she has and the city has been putting a lot of money and efforts into mental health resources throughout the city. I think there has certainly been some, critique of improvements, but there has certainly been some incredible efforts and incredible strides that have been unprecedented in the city in bringing destigmatizing mental health and also bringing various resources, including more and more direct supports to people who need them.
All right. And the fire department is involved because EMT and emergency medical services are part of the fire department. Do we know what it means that the expression that was used, that you just used, and it was in the press release, the police will no longer be the default response? Does that leave some opening or some like hole in the wall that a truck could drive through? What does that mean? Or do you know?
I mean, well, I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I think we're hoping that, because right now we don't have a lot of details yet, and I think that there has been some critique of the announcement as because of that, and I think there's also been some critique of this being a pilot program and not being something that expanded throughout the city, which is, understandable. I think that, if it's something that many of us are eager to see throughout the city, and that there's no reason why we should have law enforcement involved in mental health emergencies and mental health crises.
One of the critics, there was a Daily News article today that you shared with me, Dawn. One of the critics is Jemani Williams, who's the city's public advocate, and who is probably, I think it's fair to say, the leading mainstream politician who's willing to be critical of the NYPD. We at PROP, and I personally fully agree that the program could be immediately applied citywide, not necessary to have it be a pilot project. As the mayor's press release stated, there are similar programs. And when I mean similar programs, I mean programs that explicitly exclude local police departments from being involved in the response to emergencies involving people in psychiatric crisis. They have been initiated and have seen significant success in cities across the United States, the most famous being a couple of cities in Oregon, Springfield and Eugene. Austin, Texas has a similar program. Denver, Colorado initiated a similar program in January. I'm sorry, not January, in June. So some cities have moved forward with these programs. They, by all accounts, appear to be successful. So we think the pilot project approach, while in some ways encouraging, no question about that, is still too much on the cautious side, and the city should begin to apply this approach citywide. How, whatever form it eventually takes, we at PROP do see that the question of taking cops out of being emergency responders to people in mental health distress, it's no longer a question of if, it's a question of when. And we know that some organizations, including PROP, are going to do what we can to make this be an issue in next year's mayoral contest. But getting back to how would this approach be of particular benefit to school children who are experiencing serious psychological issues?
Sure. So What's happening in New York City schools, and, you know, particularly before the pandemic, of course, when students were all in school, is that there were thousands of students. There have been thousands of students each year, including last year, even before the pandemic, where the NYPD has been the first responders to students who are in emotional crisis in school. And some of those students are even handcuffed by the police, who are, and these are students who are in emotional crisis. These are not students who are, committing a crime. And so, and students, some as young as 5 years old. So we have a ton of work to do, and we are definitely going to be advocating and hoping and, you know, would expect that this pilot be applied to 911 calls that are made by school staff in those neighborhoods. What
do we know which two communities or precincts that the city has chosen for the pilot project?
Not to my knowledge. And so okay. I think that is also one of the criticisms currently, is that we just don't know. We don't know, you know, which ones are, if they've been chosen and they just haven't been announced yet, or if they're still mm-hmm. being decided. And so, you know, I think that, you know, as the public, we certainly would like to have some input on, you know, where that would be. And I would hope that, you know, it would also be taken into consideration what's going on in schools and those in neighborhoods that are desperately in need of this alternative as well.
Right. Now, not to spend too much time on it, but where did the police handcuff a five-year-old child? You made it use an example. I think there was an incident a year or two ago in New York where the police handcuffed a seven-year-old child. Is that right, or am I over-dramatizing these terrible stories?
You're not. I mean, they're sadly each year, since the data has been released over the past few years, there have been children as young as 5 years old who have been handcuffed by the police. And the other alarming factor is that there are always, every year that we see this, you know, the results of this data, the disparities by race are just horrible. It's really right. alarming. It's almost right. usually hovers around 90% of students of color, and disproportionate number who are Black in particular.
Yeah, it's someone used the expression, it's not a disproportionate concentration, it's virtually an exclusive concentration on children of color. It also applies to arrest practices by the NYPD. Stark contrast between the number of white people arrested and the number of New Yorkers of color arrested. I want to pause for a moment to tell people what you're listening to. It's Justice Matters with Bob Ganji. I am Bob Ganji. My guest is Dawn Yusta, who is the director of the School Justice Project at Advocates for Children. We're on WBAI radio, publicly supported radio, 99.5 FM on your dial. We also spoke about before the broadcast about another issue that is, to use a common expression, trending across the country, and that's the issue of police-free schools. Why don't you start by talking to the point of the NYPD presence in our schools in New York City, and what the movement is, or what the call is, to remove NYPD personnel from the schools?
Sure. So currently we have over 5,400 members of the NYPD force that are currently in schools. And that's including during the pandemic, when there are relatively few students who are actually in schools. And that number is about four times the number of full-time social workers in schools. So
four times the number. Wow. Okay. I knew there was a disparity. I didn't realize it was that great. Okay.
Yeah, it's really huge. And so during the pandemic and with the Black Lives Matter movement and what was happening in Minneapolis with the tragedy with Floyd's death, the advent of that led to different schools and school districts and advocates throughout the country really pushing for removing police from schools. And this is not to say that there haven't been advocates pushing for this for years. So this is not something new. But with the climate that we're in, the reception to that has certainly been greater. And so voices were very loud in New York City too, particularly by the young people who are directly impacted, and including as well by teachers and some school staff as well, who really pushed hard, for the mayor to commit to, divesting the responsibility of school safety from the NYPD and shifting it back to the Department of Education, and not just moving bodies, so to speak, and changing titles, but also reimagining the position and the positions, the roles, and where the funding goes and services and supports, so that we are truly supporting students in schools, providing mental health services, counselors, social workers, restorative justice practitioners, experts in crisis de-escalation and conflict resolution, and really listening.
So, Lynn, I want to, from a historical standpoint, my understanding is, and let me know if this is accurate, that the large presence of police in the schools and NYPD personnel in the schools was initiated under Giuliani when he was mayor. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
And so that should tell us all enough about the validity and legitimacy of that strategy. Spotlighting I don't know if it's obvious, but certainly we at Prop and lots of justice advocates, including your organization, Advocates for Children, and police reformers, point out that the NYPD, I'm sorry, New York City government, led by de Blasio, has, despite some of the rhetoric to the contrary, has really refused to make any cuts to the NYPD budget. And in fact, the city recently added 900 officers to the NYPD payroll, while it's talking about and making cuts to other important services, particularly to communities, marginalized communities, and communities in need. So what I'm leading to, I guess, is one of our challenges is overtly political and goes to what the priorities are of city government, and particularly of the de Blasio administration. Because you mentioned there were some good things that the de Blasio administration had done regarding mental health issues. But I'm sorry, go ahead. I've set it up for you. So your response to all that?
Yeah, no problem. So I think a couple of things. One is in terms of the de Blasio administration did commit to, like I said, moving the responsibility to the Department of Education. Unfortunately, though, and there was a sense of urgency when that initially happened. However, for the past few months, the school has started. There has been lots of silence in terms of the process, and there was supposed to be a task force. There is supposed to be a school safety task force created to really work on that transfer and figure out what that means. And And we certainly urge the administration to, you know, to move on that. There's not a lot of time left, before this administration is over. And so there's a lot of work to be done. So we are certainly pressing that administration to put together that task force and really start to dig deep into those issues. And the administration at the same time has certainly been taking some novel steps lately in terms of addressing issues of the mental health needs that students have, that children have, and particularly given the pandemic and as a way to address grief and loss. The city has created two new mental health initiatives in schools, which seem promising, are hopeful, and one is a partnership with health and hospitals, New York City Health and Hospitals, and certain schools, whereby students who are identified as exhibiting concerning behavior and potentially in need of more supports and mental health services upon parental consent can get fast-tracked to outpatient mental health clinics for care, which is very exciting because it can take months to get that kind of individual or group or family therapy and medication management. So that is definitely very exciting.
Now this is a program that is being discussed and planned, or they've begun to implement it?
So our understanding is that it's the first ever formal partnership between the city's public schools and New York City Health and Hospitals, and that currently it is underway where principals are starting to get training orientation, and there will be a turnkey of explaining how this is going to happen to their schools to staff and steps on how to, proceed further. And
so it is underway and it is in play and at work. And Dawn, I want to commend you because this is one of the few instances that either I or a guest have been willing to say something positive regarding the de Blasio administration when it comes to the issue of justice and providing proper services to people. So, again, I tip my hat to you. And we tip our hat to the de Blasio administration for this program. We are unfortunately running short on time. One point I want to make is how this all relates to the broader question and issue of defunding the police. And there's been an intensified debate just coming out of the elections I think you are aware of, and some of our listeners are aware of, where some of centrist Democrats, for want of a better term for them, are saying that the defund police movement and slogan actually did hurt some Democratic candidacies during last week's election. The reason I'm raising this is the kind of things that you're talking about and that we at Prop talk about, removing the police from providing services to New Yorkers in psychiatric crisis, removing the police from the schools and adding social workers and mental health counselors and other programs and services that could help the students rather than have an emphasis on punishing students. That is part of what advocates mean by defunding the police. It doesn't mean abolishing the police. It doesn't mean taking all the money away from police. It means transferring some of the resources police departments now have where they're carrying out duties that they're not actually fit to carry out or can do it ably, and transferring that money to services and programs that can do a better job of providing services where they're helping people not hurt them. I know that was abbreviated version of summing that up, but does that all make sense to you? And does that all apply to some of the programs that you've talked about?
Absolutely. And so, on that last note, perhaps, I think that in New York City, the mayoral campaign that's upcoming. We have already seen that candidates have actually already been coming to us asking for us what their position should be on removing police from schools. So that's very promising. I do think it's going to be.
When you say yes, I mean they come to your Advocates for Children and your program.
Correct. And so you know, I think that it's invariably in order to be you know, I think that all of the those who are running for mayor should be, and I think many of them will include this as part of their platform, and you know, and understand that it's critical to divert some of the funding from the NYPD to critically needed education and social services throughout the city.
Quickly, if people want to get more information about your work and your program, go to the Advocates for Children website. What's the best way to do that?
Sure. They can go to the Advocates for Children website. If they have a question about education, they can call our education helpline, which is 866-427-6033.
Thank you very much, Dawn. I'm waiting for the music clip that comes at the end of the show to send us off. Thank you very much for listening. Tune in again next week, where you can learn more about what justice matters in New York City and in the nation, and what we can all do to advance the cause of justice. Thank you very much, Dawn. Thank you to people out there who've listened to the show. Take care and have a good night.
Speaks out for WBAI.
We should be moving forward, collecting the funds that we need to make sure that our station is whole and that it can do its job as it has done for me in the past. When all of this stuff happened to me many, many years ago in 1989, I didn't get very many opportunities to speak out in regards to the wrong that was done to my son and the other boys in the Central Park jogger case, as it was called at that time. Very few people stepped up. Yes, Like It Is was there. WBAI was there. And a few others. Majority of those stations that let people like myself speak and tell them what was going on the other side, those stations are gone. If we lose WBAI, where do we go to get our words out? Where do we go if you've been arrested unjustly? Where do you go if someone's taken your children unfairly? Where do you go to seek justice? We must keep this station alive. Yeah. Alive. WBAI.
No justice.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be held on Sunday, November 15th, 2020, at 1 p.m., and it will be by teleconference. The call-in number is 623-600-3766. The access number is 963-003. This information will be placed on WBAI.org. The CAB hopes to make recommendations on programming at this meeting. The CAB also needs a grant writer who can donate some time to help out. So if you know someone with development experience, please have that person call in. Again, the next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be held on Sunday, November 15th at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 623-600-3766, and the access number is 963-003. This meeting is open to everyone. Thank you from the WBAI Community Advisory Board.
It's autumn. The birds and ear massage are migrating to Sundays, 6 to 8 a.m. I'm Mark Leosa, your ear masseur, inviting you to give ear to ear massage, sound, spoken word, a bit of opera, and maybe music you never heard before, including the bird of the week. Ear Massage between Jeff Brady in other news and your Morning Ursae with James Ursae here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Ear Massage.
And the previous program was Justice Matters with Bob Ganji, heard Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. Stay tuned for the Jimmy Dore Show coming up. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.